Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Uber's $50 billion plan, a gold Apple Watch for $10, and we catch up with Morgan Webb. Live from the Twit Brick House in Petaluma with Toaster, it's the new screensavers.
The new screensavers is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions, fee-free, go to BraintreePayments.com/NSS. And by IT Pro TV. A good IT pro is always learning, and IT Pro TV is the resource to keep your IT skills up to date with engaging and informative video tutorials. For a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account, go to itpro.tv/NSS and use the code NSS30. Yeah, welcome to the new Screensavers, episode 2, May 9th, 2015. Leo Laporte with my old buddy, Kevin Rose.
Kevin Rose here. Leo, good
so
to
nice
see you, sir.
So nice to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's
Look,
good to be
Toaster
here.
Toaster came right out.
Toaster came out.
I love Toaster. You know, Toaster is the only dog with an Instagram filter named after it.
That's true.
In the whole world.
That was a strange story.
Unless there's a dog named Hefe, I think Toaster owns that.
It was a
crazy... How did that happen?
So Kevin Systrom, who started Instagram, he saw... I mean, Instagram was really small for a little while, and then it kind of blew up from there. But he saw some pictures of Toaster on there that were making the popular page because he was a cute little puppy. And at the time, you know, he was just a few months old.
Yeah.
So he said, if my sister can meet Toaster and bring... Like, can I bring her over to your house? I'll make a filter after him. I was like, that's a fair trade. Let's do that. So... He came over, and that's how the Toaster filter was
created.
That's
an awesome story.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's fantastic. Kevin, as you know, a longtime friend, was the IT guy at Tech TV, became the dark tipper on the screens.
I used to fix the computers underneath
used to fix them.
Between segments.
Hosted the attack of the show, was an early Twit participant. We're on the first many episodes of Twit.
Yeah. Dignation.
Dignation. Hey, by the way.
Yes.
I saw a picture on the internet of you and Alex Albrecht
if it's
sitting
on the internet,
a couch.
It has to be true.
Is there a reunion planned?
There is. There is, actually. So we are getting ready to launch a little campaign. We're going to talk about it here in a few weeks. But yeah, there's
like
a reunion.
Like you're going to crowdfund it to do it?
We're going to do a little bit of crowdfunding just so we can lock down a nice venue. We don't know how many people are going to show up.
Oh,
so
dude,
we want
you're
to...
Gonna... You filled
we'll
Stubbs in Austin. You filled the barbecue in Austin.
It's going to be fun.
You're going to get thousands of people. You know that.
It's going to be Comic-Con, though. It's when we're going to do it. So
fun.
Right around there. So the venues are a little bit more expensive, but this
is
way...
Is that San Diego Comic-Con?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. So this year.
So people, prepare. You keep your calendar free.
We're excited.
That's
it's going to
really
be fun. It's
just like, one, though. Not, you're not going to bring it
we
back?
We might do a couple little taped ones for fun, just since we're all going to be in the
show.
Same neighborhood and we're be in that mood. So,
can you call it Dignation?
I think so. Yeah, we'll be fine.
Why not?
Yeah, BetaWorks owns it. They're going to be happy with it. So.
It's promoting Dig.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great. Then you went to Google Ventures.
That's
well, actually,
right.
In between, you had a company called Milk.
That's right. And then Google bought that.
Mm-hmm.
So then I ended up over at Google Corporate, worked at Google Plus for a little while, which I quickly realized was not the place I wanted to call home.
Yeah.
So Google Ventures was nice enough to take me on. And so I spent close to 3 years at Google Ventures doing investments there, invested in a bunch of companies, and then broke off and now doing my own thing again.
That's great. You're doing apps again.
Doing little apps. I have a little incubator called North. And so we build a new app every 3 to 4 months. We've done a couple so far, and we just have a small team of about, there's five of us total now.
And Watchville is a hobby, or is that one of the North apps?
Honestly, it was one that just kind of surprised us. I wanted to build an app that was traditional wristwatch news for like the fans of that kind of stuff, which I happen to be a fan of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we pulled together about 15 different sources. We parsed the content. We put consistent fonts across it. We put in time setting tools for more advanced complications.
I love that, actually. That's
really
cool.
You get the current moon phase. You get all that stuff. So we launched that, and actually it just kind of blew up on us. So last month, we had over 1 million user sessions in the app.
Doesn't that show you you can't tell?
Which is nuts.
You just never know, do you?
Well, it just goes to show you that little niche audiences, and you know this well, given your experience here, they can be massive.
No kidding. Well, and watch is a great topic. I subscribe and I use the app on iOS. It's in iOS and Android.
That's right.
Because I love watches. I wish I could afford that. Actually, we're going to show some of Kevin's watches.
Yeah, we'll talk about a few of them, yeah.
You're wearing one of my favorites, and I'm wearing two watches.
I hate to tell you, Leela, this is like rule number one. You do not double fist the watches.
This is terrible. I have an Apple Watch and an Android Wear watch. We'll talk about that as well. We'll get into the watches a little bit.
Don't wear that outside like that, though.
I know. It's embarrassing.
Just one.
And actually, I have to ask you.
Yes.
I already asked Daria. I think I already know the answer. Is this watch really just butt ugly?
I mean, I don't know what, but some type. It's
some
it's
type
close
of ugly.
To an,
it's the LG Urbane.
What is it? Is it brass? What's the case made out of? I mean, it's definitely not gold, right?
No. It's supposed to be rose gold.
Rose gold?
It looks like crap. I don't know.
I do like the fact that most Android Wear watches, they have the bottom little third cut off.
Yeah, this is not like
this
the Moto.
This is full bleed.
Yeah.
That is nice. But it's a little big for me personally. I mean, you rock it well because of your size.
52 mil.
I don't mean size like big size. I mean, you're a bigger guy than me.
Yeah.
You're taller than I am.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
You're taller than me. Get out of here. So, top news stories of the week. Actually, one of these I thought you might have something to say about. Uber.
Yes.
Uber is a ride service that's kind of taking over all over the world. Taxi commissions don't like it. Taxi drivers don't like it because they're losing business to Uber. But it has been a huge success. Also got a lot of heat because of the kind of the programmer mentality of the executives, which I think we even talked about this. It's hard because you're a startup. You're a feisty little startup. You're fighting off all the local governments.
You have to be feisty if you're Uber because, taxi cab authorities and drivers and all that,
they're
pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, there's been taxi cabs that have tried to assault Uber drivers, broken out windows, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, Travis is a pretty aggressive CEO. Like, no one's denying that. But you kind of have to have that mentality to go after such a hardcore, in some cases, like mafia-run industry, you know? It's pretty scary.
And yet, now
there's a reason they're not in Vegas.
A big company. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Now you're a big company, and you also very public. People see you.
Right.
So, you know, I think people kind of gotten over the sexist stuff that they did and the weird
stuff.
Some
of that was really bad.
It was inappropriate.
That's unexcusable.
Yeah.
I was talking more about the, like, you know, you have to strong-arm the industry a little bit when you're going into new towns and things like that. But
they're going after
stuff is just not
a new round of funding. I don't know how much they've raised so far, but they're going after another $1.5 to $2 billion,
according
to the Wall Street Journal, which would give them a 50 billion dollar valuation. That would make it the second largest pre-IPO valuation in history.
The way this company has grown and scaled is just phenomenal.
It's not surprising?
Honestly, it is surprising. So I was at Google Ventures when we did the investment.
Mm-hmm.
So full disclosure.
You know a lot about it.
I'm a shareholder in that. So we started off and we did $254 million investment into Uber back when they were like a billion and change or something.
Somebody's
like
very happy right now.
No, it was a great investment, but at the time it was really scary. I mean, you're sitting there and you're like, well, regulation could jump in here and really hamper things. Like, there's a lot of unknowns.
There's no guarantee.
And even in our wildest projections, you know, we were thinking this would be a $15, $20 billion company in the next 5 years. And they got there in, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. So.
How do you, first of all, if you're profitable, what do you need to go back to the venture capitalists and get more money for?
I mean, well, I don't know that they're necessarily
maybe
profitable.
Maybe they're not profitable.
They're spending
yet.
A lot of money. You've got to imagine that every new city launch, at least initially,
you're
is
in
not profitable.
Mode, right.
Like, you're going in there, you're paying drivers full time salaries because you need them to be available. So you kind of have to have a little bit more of the supply side than you do the demand initially.
Right.
But eventually you break over. And then also, you know, there's fierce competition here. You've got Lyft and some other folks that are also trying to get the same customers, and they're all undercutting each other on prices. So in a little bit, it's kind of a race to the bottom on the pricing structure. But it's been fun and entertaining to watch. And I think they're going to use some of this cash to go after this Nokia buy.
Now, this is, I also wanted to ask you about this. The rumor is that they are one of the active bidders, and I think there are probably several, for Nokia's mapping division here. Nokia says, we want to spin that off. I don't know what, they're slowly dismantling the company bit
right.
by bit. They kept it in the sale to Microsoft. They licensed the maps to Bing. Those are Bing maps.
Mm-hmm.
We thought maybe Microsoft in a defensive play should try to buy here to protect, because they don't have their own mapping initiative.
Right.
Apple maybe should buy it to beef up Apple Maps. Mm-hmm. Apple Maps isn't bad, but it could use...
It's getting better, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Google should buy it also defensively. I mean, they really own the map mm-hmm. franchise right now. Why does Uber want maps?
I mean, Uber needs this desperately. If there's any one single point of failure for Uber, it's maps. So if Google yanks maps from Uber, what happens? If Apple yanks maps, what happens? Like, they're kind of screwed.
So
right?
when I use the Uber app, I see it sees where I am. I see on a map,
right.
I guess it's a Google map, where all the other Uber cars are.
Right.
And it dispatches one to me, and you can actually watch the car come to you,
right.
which is one of the
so
secret
that's all
that's
with
the
mapping
sauce.
Technology. And so the thing that, you know, there's been rumors of Google even competing with Uber long term, which is really crazy. Certainly not something that we knew about at Google Ventures.
Right.
But
that doesn't
you know,
mean they wouldn't, though, right?
Doesn't mean they wouldn't. And
yeah.
something like that happens, like, it's, you know, it's their product. They could pull it. So,
you know, I actually used Uber the other day on the Apple Watch. You could actually go to the Uber app on the Apple Watch.
You can't set your PIN, though, right? Like, you can't
no.
tell where you are. So it kind of guesstimates where you're at. So
hey,
I thought
Siri,
that was a little bit scary.
Open Uber. Hey, Siri. Siri. Hey. Open Uber.
Shh. It'd be really quiet.
It says, hey there. No.
Oh, you just said hi to it.
No. Open Oh, forget it.
You guys are flirting.
Anyway, you're right. It's easier to do it
it's
on
so
the phone.
It's so much easier to do on the phone. Yeah, this yeah. is the problem with these watches. It's just like...
In general.
I just feel like I can just so much faster on my phone. Just pull it out and boom, I'm there. You know? And it's more full-featured.
No, I'm talking to this thing. And
well, you're double-fisted, so you're okay. You've got backup. You can just
I wish
go
they
like
spoke
this...
Hey, okay, Google. Hey, Siri. Okay.
Say no. the same command at the same time.
Terrible.
One of them will work.
Google woke up, but hey, oh, forget it. Story two, Spotify.
Yes.
What's going on there?
Well, they announced record earnings. So
record
earnings
good. For Spotify.
That said, they're spending more on marketing, so I think the actual loss is widened to 162 million euros. But $1 billion in earnings now, which is pretty interesting.
Do they worry about Beats coming on? Because Apple, Apple bought Beats probably for streaming music, right?
Mm-hmm.
The rumor is June, that's when Apple's going to launch its service.
Mm-hmm.
The DOJ is apparently investigating Apple for strong-arming the labels, saying, stop allowing free music services. And yet Apple's already saying, well, we'll probably have some free stuff along with paid stuff.
Right. Well, they already do with the radio, right?
Yeah.
But they're putting ads
radio.
In there and whatnot.
I love
but...
radio. It's the least known Apple product ever. Nobody even knows about
I know.
It. So, and then you've got Tidal.
I tried Tidal for a couple weeks. I was excited about Tidal because it's high fidelity.
This is Jay-Z's
yes,
business.
But it was also uncompressed music.
Yep.
So you could do full on. So if you have
and
a nice
CD
set
quality,
of,
right?
CD quality. They were doing 320 kilobits
okay.
streaming. It was really nice quality. But
did
it was $20 a month.
The difference?
They have this little test that you can take.
Yeah.
They hide it now.
Yeah.
It's somewhere. You type in Tidal test, sound test, and you can still find
and
it.
And you can listen to see
and
if
you listen,
you can
they
see.
Play you like five tracks, and you say, yeah. was that high fidelity or not?
Right.
And I think I got 3 out of the 5 correct. So
that's just a little bit better than 50-50.
But
I have
really
you.
Nice headphones on okay. at the same time, so I'd imagine playing through like you know laptop speakers
right.
or house
you're
speakers, you're
notice.
Not going to know the
yeah.
difference. So.
All right. Well, you know, I like the competition. I think Spotify's great. I use Google All Access.
I use Spotify just because it has so many tracks.
Yeah.
And like,
doesn't everybody have the same?
Yeah. It's no, all more or less
really
within
matter.
A million here or there,
yeah.
a few million. So it's like.
I like the Google All Access. Amazon does this too because I can upload my collection.
Right.
So if they're like Beatles, I have a lot of Beatles stuff.
That's key.
And I can listen to it on All Access because I own it.
Right.
Even though the Beatles haven't licensed it for streaming yet.
Right. And you can connect that to Sonos and then stream
exactly.
it through your Sonos.
And I do.
Which is awesome.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Another story and then we'll get going here. And I wanted to ask you about this. Last week, Build Conference 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're an app developer, so I was really curious. Microsoft announced that they're going to make it possible for app developers to easily take an iOS or Android app and put it on Windows Phone. It will take some recompiling. They're going to modify Visual Studio so it can handle that. Obviously, if you're an Android developer, you're very reliant on Google services. Microsoft's going to have to duplicate some of those because those are proprietary.
Right.
If you're on iOS, similarly, Microsoft's going to give you some of the iOS toolkit, the libraries. So if you add animation, for instance, Microsoft will make that possible.
Yeah.
But as an app developer, is that enough?
You know, I'm going to have to wait and see how long it takes to port something. If it's something where it's like a day or
it's
two
not
process.
One button. It might be a couple of days.
If it's a couple of days, then it's interesting. Because if I can reach that audience and, you know, if that turns into something meaningful where you're getting tens of thousands of downloads, then, you know, what it is it's a hook, right? Because once you get hooked and you think, oh, wow, there is an audience here, then I might take that platform seriously and actually develop a full-featured app for it.
Right.
So
that's the problem.
It's a good strategy. We'll see if it works.
Peter Bright, writing in Ars Technica, pointed this out, that OS 2 did this. Remember, you could run
Win
16 apps.
Yeah, you run Windows apps on OS 2.
And BlackBerry's done it, too, with Android apps. They have the Amazon store. And he said the real problem is the risk that developers will say, oh, that's good enough. I don't need to make a native Windows phone app. I'm just going to take my other app and kind of slap it on the
in
platform.
In which case, it might feel really
janky.
It
could backfire.
Yeah, if it doesn't work well and it's a little sluggish or certain things are broken, that might be
you
bad.
You might never get that app.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've covered all the things that we wanted to talk about. I believe we have. A couple of plugs. I did an AMA on Reddit and Ask Me Anything. You've done those before, aren't they fun?
Yeah, I did one before. It's awesome.
I love them. We talked about the show. There it is, questions and answers. If you want to visit that, it's reddit.com/r.
What was the hardest question you got?
IAMA. People ask me tough questions. People are tough.
Yeah, what was the one that you know, anything stand out?
A lot of people want to know kind of the inside of the business operation, and we've always been very transparent about that. Mm-hmm. But there's some things like employment issues we can't really talk about.
Sure, there's legal things around that.
And that's tough because I like to be very open, but if I am, Lisa kills me. So there were a few questions there that, you know, you want to, when you do an AMA, you want to answer every question.
Right.
You know what? I was disappointed. Nobody asked me about the horse and the ducks. So what was the question? What's the question, the
How
traditional
many horse
question?
How many horse and ducks you have?
Who would win in a fight, a duck-sized horse or a horse-sized duck?
I love that.
Which would you rather fight? 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? Who would you rather fight?
100 duck-sized horses, for sure.
100 of them. They could overwhelm me.
Them off, though,
oh, but they could take
easily.
Over. They could drown
they
you.
They can't climb. They can't get up on you.
You should have been on the AMA, not me. And let's see, what else? Is there anything you're up to coming up in the future? We mentioned the Dignation. That's awesome.
Yeah, Dignation is going to be fun. Just a lot of travel, going around, bouncing around. Nothing other than that crazy Dignation.
Good.
I'm still doing the random show with Tim Ferriss.
Oh,
so that's
I
another
know.
Podcast
I
video.
Wanted to thank you for the foundation.
Oh, the foundation
video.
Episode? Yeah, that was fun. If you haven't seen that, check out Leo's foundation. It was great.
Tim has a TV show.
Yes.
Where he does.
Just one season.
Things.
Yeah, crazy.
Crazy things.
Yeah.
Learns crazy. To play the violin in one day, kind
right,
of thing.
Right, right. And parkour, where he really injured himself.
He did
himself.
Parkour.
He did that.
Crazy.
I mean, he's insane. He's just like a great body hacker, like just nuts.
Wild guy. And you do the random show with him.
Random show with him.
Great watching.
There is no schedule for it. It's random. So we do one about a month or so.
Makes it hard to know when to watch.
Yeah, it's true. But we have it online, so hopefully.
All right. We're going to answer a question. You ready? It's time
Let's
for
do it.
Help Me!
Our first call is from Dinesh, Surrey, British Columbia.
I'm glad you did it because you know how to pronounce it. Hi, Dinesh.
Hey, Dinesh.
Hey, Leo. How's it going?
Good to see you. Why is it everybody Good calls us, even in the screensavers day, they always call from the bedroom?
From their bedroom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a nice bed.
Dinesh, again, I want to thank you for making the bed.
Not everyone does that. It's been really messy in the past.
What can we do for you, Dinesh?
So I'm a university student and I'm studying business, but I also have a real passion for technology. So I was wondering what would be the best way to combine those two, especially in terms of where the market is going and like what are some possible education or career paths for me in the future?
Where are you studying?
It's a local university, Simon Fraser University.
I know Simon Fraser. And you're doing computer science or what specific area? You said business.
I'm in business right now, yeah.
Okay, but technology focused?
I haven't focused anything yet. I'm still first year.
This is the guy to ask,
oh,
right?
I have bad advice.
Did you were...
I dropped out. Drop out. Just go ahead and drop out.
We both dropped out.
We both dropped out. So
you're called really the wrong show. In fact, Dinesh, do you have any advice for us?
Yeah.
Because we're struggling here. I got to tell you. If you were getting into business today, this is what's neat about modern times, is you don't have to go to work for a company for 50 years, get a goldish watch at the end of that time.
Ish, goldish.
I think doing your own thing is the way to go these days, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on where you want to take it. I mean, I think that if you're a brilliant computer scientist and you self-study and you're brilliant and you can prove that, then you can get a job anywhere, right? You don't need that standard four-year degree. But on the business side, I mean, that looks really good. Still having that piece of paper is nice to have.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I were in your position, I'm not going to say quit school, but certainly immerse yourself and throw yourself into as many internships as you possibly can, preferably with startup companies, and get to learn that environment. The important thing is not to have just book knowledge, but to have some real-world knowledge as well.
Intern,
anything you can do to get that experience.
Yeah.
Even if it's coming out to the Bay Area, apply for your favorite startups. Don't go for the Google internship or the Facebook. Do something really scrappy where you can see what it's like to be down in the ditches with other entrepreneurs.
I got to say, though, BC has a very active tech environment in Vancouver. There's I know because we used to do the TV show up there. There's a great community there. Are you near Vancouver? Where are you in BC?
Yeah, really close.
Yeah. I think that's a great opportunity.
What's that great hardware school up around BC? There's a great school for hardware.
I don't know.
It's where all the great hardware engineers come out of. Anyway.
I think Simon Fraser has a pretty good business program. I seem to remember that. Dinesh, what would you like to do?
Yeah, what's your gut telling you?
I'm not sure, something in a company.
Well, that's usually the best place to do business, I find.
Yeah, private companies.
You know, I was just reading the Steve Jobs, the new biography, Becoming Steve Jobs. And one of the things that Jobs really got is that that of all of the things the 20th century, 21st century brought us, the idea of a company is immensely powerful. The idea that people would unite with differing skills to aim towards a common goal is incredibly powerful. I mean, that in companies, humans can do things that they could not do by themselves. In a small team or big team, that is one of the most amazing inventions of the industrial era, is the company. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a fascinating insight. Jobs loved the company and loved what Apple could do. And by bringing in team members like Johnny Ive, who could do design, like Ron Johnson, who could do retail, Angela Ahrens now, who's doing an amazing job with retail, these team members synergize in a way that's remarkable.
Great at hiring. He knew how to find the right people. Yes. You know, he had a great gut for that.
So that's another good piece of advice. Find a great team that's in alignment with your goals, that shares your goals, and join that team and make that team a success.
Yeah, and I would say it sounds like you don't really know what you want to do, so go out there and just have fun. Try a bunch of different things at the same time and, you know, just have fun with it.
Dinesh, happy studies, good luck, and I'm so glad you could join us on the next screensaver.
Don't take it too seriously. You're too young. Just go out and have fun with it all.
Take care, Dinesh. Thank you for joining us. By the way, next week, Padre is going to be hosting the show, Father Robert. He's our know-how and coding 101 guy.
Awesome.
So we want to get some questions about IT. He's our TWIET expert this week in enterprise tech. I want to get questions about know-how or coding. Father Robert next week. If you'd like to be on the show, here's how.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
Hi, I am Megan Maroney. You might recognize me from such shows as Tech News Tonight, i5 for the iPhone, or iPad Today. Let's face it, Mother's Day is tomorrow, so if you haven't ordered your mom something, you're kinda out of luck. But if you're watching this right now, you're probably a geek, so why not give your mom what she always asks of you anyway? Tech advice. One caveat. Not all moms are tech illiterate. I am a mom. I am not tech illiterate. You might be a mom and you're probably not tech illiterate, but I have a mom who could use this help and you might too. Number one, call her with your face. If you both have iPhones or iPads, show your mom how to use FaceTime if she doesn't already know, and then use it. She'll appreciate you saying hi, and it will make the rest of this tech support even easier. If you're not both on iOS, but you're both on Facebook, you can now make video calls right through Facebook Messenger. Number two, if you live close enough to pay your mom a visit on Mother's Day, then fix her computer face-to-face. No matter what operating system your mom is running, make sure she has her software updated, then turn on automatic updating so she doesn't have to worry about it ever again. Go ahead and update the software on her phone and her tablet too. If you don't live near mom, then you can walk her through installing updates through a remote desktop client like Screens for Mac. If you're both running Windows, you can connect to her computer using the remote desktop connection that's been there since Windows 7. Number three, help her clear out her email. It might take a while to convince her, but like many of us, it could be time for your mom to declare email bankruptcy and start over. It's your job as her offspring to let her know that this is good for her. Once you've convinced your mom to do this, open a Gmail account for her if she doesn't already have one. Have all her email forwarded there if she wants to keep her other address. And then download Gmail's inbox or another better email program that makes it easier to manage messages. That's it. Back good to you, Leo and Kevin.
Good advice for Mother's Day. Kevin was saying I should do that for Mom this Mother's Day. Get on
remote
access. Go to my PC or something. Yeah. Girl Assist. She said a couple of things. If your mom's on Windows, your mom's not on Windows.
No, she's a Mac.
All right.
I would not let her do that.
No, please. No. But if she were... I like turning on Windows updates. That's usually on by default. Mm-hmm. And you know what? A great thing. I did this with my mom with Windows 2000. I made her run as a limited user, not a
not administrator. That's smart.
And so she couldn't do anything. She couldn't install software.
Can she still install like toolbars or anything like that? Yeah. No browsers?
No, all of that stuff.
That's the thing like, that parents.
She couldn't do anything.
You see their PC and there's like five toolbars. No. You're like, do they stack like that? I didn't even know that. Like, there's multiple toolbars.
Where's the window? Where do I actually?
Yeah, exactly. Where do I see the browser?
Yeah. Hey, our show today brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app. You want to have mobile payments, you got to check out BraintreePayments.com/NSS for new screen savers. It is incredible. Uber uses it.
Yeah.
But Lyft also uses it, which I think is telling. You know about this.
Airbnb. We almost made an investment in them. We really wanted to do the deal.
You blew it.
And then they got acquired. So, but yeah, we love the team.
Oh, that's right. PayPal owns them.
That's right.
Yeah. So here's the deal. With just like a couple of lines of code, you're going to add Apple Pay is in there. You could take payment from Bitcoin, from PayPal, of course, Venmo, of course, credit cards. It basically allows your app to do anything your customer wants in terms of payments. They've got excellent customer service. The integration is very simple. They speak all of the seven different languages like Node.js. Yeah. And
international currency support is a huge one.
That's huge.
It's
right?
Huge. Not everyone does that. It's hard to do.
They started with GitHub. When GitHub first started taking payments, they go from your first dollar to your billionth dollar. V.0, you got to check it out. They've got a sandbox. And we have a deal for you. You're going to like this. Your first $50,000 in transactions are fee-free. So this is great for a startup, just getting going in payments. You're going to get $50,000 in transactions fee-free. BraintreePayments.com/NSS. Don't make the mistake Kevin Rose did. Invest in these guys.
Yes. Because I missed that one.
You missed that one.
Yeah.
So you don't go into Google at all anymore?
I'm still an advisor to Google Ventures.
Oh, okay.
So, you know...
And you still have a portfolio, right? They don't strip that away
from
you.
No, I still have all my companies, and so I do coffees with them and all
and you
that.
You stay in touch with them?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you hot about? What's one that you're just so excited? Can you say that?
Startup-wise right now?
Yeah, is there something
you're excited? Well, the last deal that we did before I left was Slack, and I really, really was excited to do that deal.
Stuart has done so well with that.
Amazing pivot for him. It's like
crazy. Stuart Butterfield created Flickr. Actually, mm-hmm. Talk about pivot. It was originally an online game.
That's right.
That turned into the photo sharing app, which Yahoo
bought.
Yeah,
completely different.
Talk about a pivot.
Yeah.
All right, you brought some watches.
Yes.
First of all.
You coaxed me into this, by the way. I didn't come here to, like, plug watches on the show.
No, but you're a watch expert now. How did you get into watches?
Well, I'll tell you about that right now, actually. So, in a little bit of a sad tone, this is my favorite watch.
Is it your dad's?
This is my dad's watch, and he passed away.
Here, put it right here so we can see it.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Oh, right here. Here we go. There we are. So this was the watch I wasn't supposed to touch as a kid. My dad had this for many, many years.
It's a Rolex.
He could afford one Rolex. I was a standard, like, middle-class family.
Wow.
And he wore this all the time, taught me about it when I was younger, like, would let me wind it under.
So he loved watches.
Oh, he loved watches, yeah. He couldn't afford a lot of them, but this was the one that he had and that he wore for many, many years.
I like it because it's not super ostentatious. Sometimes Rolexes are giant, those big oysters.
Yeah, yeah, I mean.
That looks really like just a beautiful watch.
It's just a really simple watch with a nice gray dial there. And, you know, it's their standard just date Rolex.
Do you ever wear it or you kind of keep it?
This one I don't wear. Yeah. It's because it was my dad's watch. Yeah. I don't know. I'm weird like that. I have a hard time, like, putting on something that he used to wear every single day. Yeah. I've done it a couple times for really nice events and things like that to kind of, you know, pay tribute to him. And yeah. if I'm going out and dressing up or something like that. But it was this that, you know, I kind of put on. I was like, you know what? That was, like, a really cool little hobby that my dad was into. What is this all about? And then I started reading watch blogs, and I started getting into not so much just buying a mall watch, which a lot of people do based on brand. Like, a lot of people buy Rolex based on just a Rolex.
Right.
But I realized that it goes into, like, the movements of the watch, who makes it, the producers. And then you find out that there's this whole trade of really small, like, watchmakers that are really, like, dying off and going away that still hand make all of these watches.
Wow.
And so once you kind of get into that and you realize it's really the only fashion thing that a man can wear, like a guy can wear.
Right.
Like, we're not wearing gold
jewelry
chains anymore.
Really, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you know, it's like Mr. T can maybe can get away with that.
I saw an Instagram picture of you. You were at the Anders Piguet?
Audemars Piguet.
Audemars Piguet.
Yeah, AP.
They have a school.
Yeah, watchmaking school. So
and
I
you
went,
took it.
I went down and took that. Yeah. So we assembled everything. You put in the barrel, the balance cock, like everything. And
did that give you a better appreciation of?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, you start to learn how they actually function. It's just like computers. For me, it's a geeky thing. Like, I look at this and I'm like, wow, that's like that's how it works. And that's how it stores energy. And that's how it releases energy. And these are the different cogs that move together. And like some of the more complicated pieces where you have moon phase indicators that are accurate for thousands of years.
That's
all
amazing,
done
isn't it?
In math, down translated into cogs. It's crazy. So anyway, you asked me to bring a couple.
Yeah, let me see some more. You're wearing a Nomos?
Nomos, yeah.
So I think that's a beautiful watch.
Yeah,
I really like these.
Nomos is a little company. I'll clean it up a little before we show it
it's
on camera.
Very
but
simple.
This is a company made out of Gleschut, Germany, a little tiny small town, and I visited their manufacturer.
That's where Langenstein is,
it
too.
It is. Yeah, they're right
this
across
is like the
street.
Like the watch they're, capital
it,
of the world?
It is in Germany, yeah. So these guys are right across the street from each other. This is a very modern watch. Very simple. I mean, no date here, just a little minute indicator here. I threw a black Houdinki strap on here just to swap it out. And then on the back side, you can see the visible movement. So, you know, this is an automatic movement, so you can see that little weight shifting around there that charges the watch for you. But everything is hand-finished there. So all those little lines and everything that you see there, the little sunburst finishing that is done there. On the mainspring, like it's just all done by hand. So when you go in to visit one of these manufacturers, you're actually meeting with the watchmakers and seeing that it's someone sitting there for a year making your watch.
Now like, you know why it's so expensive.
That's why they can be. This one, Nomos, is a great brand. Nomos is my favorite approachable brand for most folks.
Well,
they start a little under $1,000 for some models, and then they go up to around $4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah. That is actually fairly reasonable in this kind of high-end
and, I mean,
watch
this
space.
Thing will last for multi-generations. Yeah. I mean, this is something you can hand down to your kids.
And that's the other thing about these smartwatches. I have to credit Apple with at least making us aware of horology. I think the first time I ever heard the word complication is in Apple describing these little, you know, features. That's what they're called in real watch making, right? The complications are what makes the watch face unique, what makes the movement unusual. But now you bought an Apple Watch. I don't see you wearing it.
I did. My wife has it. She's sitting over there with it on. I have the bigger one coming. Honestly, the smaller one was a little too small for me.
I did the same thing. And Lisa got the 38 millimeter. I got the 42.
Yeah, for me, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm a technologist. I love technology. I think this thing is cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to dial it back on the notification side. I want it to kind of just like not buzz me every 5 minutes.
You use a watch to tell time.
I use a watch to tell time. I'll use that for the gym. But you know what? Honestly, I think that what's something that's really cool is that at nighttime when you go out on a date with your wife or whatever, this is like a sign of saying, I'm shutting off.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my attention.
So you don't want the
I don't want the
stuff.
Thing buzzing. Why would I? That would be just be like an interruption to my...
It's jewelry to you.
More
with a little function, because you can see what time it is.
Little function, but also just a way to kind of dress it up a little bit and to appreciate still independent watchmaking. You know, I'm not buying crazy mass-produced Tag Heuers. Like, I'm going after... like really independent small brands, small producers.
I didn't know about Nomos until I saw Watchville and I started seeing your pictures, and I love that. You're wearing something, though, that I think is kind of interesting, and I haven't seen much of. This is the Up 3.
Yeah,
the
this
new
is the
one.
Up 3. This just came out a couple days ago.
Up 3.
Yeah, this little guy right here. It's
funny because you told me about the Fitbit. I discovered Fitbit because of you.
Look how small it is.
Look how tiny that is compared to the actual
I mean,
watch.
It's just. Really tiny.
What does it do? It doesn't tell you the time.
No, it doesn't tell you the time, but it does sleep. Obviously, they all do. But it also has a 7-day battery life. And look at all these sensors in here. So it'll measure skin temperature.
Really?
I always get this, what is it when you perspire, the galvanic
response. Skin response, GSR.
It does that as well. It does heart rate.
So it can tell when you're lying.
It tells when I'm lying. My wife has the app and she checks it as we're talking.
What does it do with galvanic skin response?
They haven't, honestly, what they've gotten a handful, just to be in full transparency here, because I don't want people going out and going crazy buying these. It's an awesome device. The software is not quite there yet.
Yeah.
So they're not exposing everything that it can do. But the cool thing is it's all baked into this. Has a
they
unique
can
little.
Expand
they can expand it
because the hardware.
And I'm hoping the new release with a bunch of new features will get there soon.
But you use this for to measure
steps,
steps,
exercise,
yeah.
Sleep data. I think is really powerful, and I like it because it's just not. You know, it doesn't tell time. This is my little. This is my little like pedometer and everything else, and then this is what I wear on the other wrist.
Right. Show me some more. What else you got?
So this one here is a really special piece. This is from 1977. This is a Patek Philippe Nautilus. So this is an original Nautilus, kind of a crazy watch. It's got a great patina on the dial there, made by a really famous watchmaker. One of the very first kind of sports watches. This is all stainless steel. It's called the 3701. Really, really cool watch. Very unique style to it. It's not square. It's not round. Really thin watch.
What made you interested in this watch?
In this particular watch, the Nautilus is an icon in the space. Uh-huh. It's like it's one of those watches that has been famous for many, many years. They still make it. And this happens to be the very first model made. So this is from 77.
So it's like owning a 77
it's like collecting.
Corvette.
Yeah,
or
this
something.
Is like a vintage watch. It's hard to find this watch. I didn't buy this new. I spent about a year hunting down this watch.
Where do you get vintage watches?
You just kind of have to get into the industry and get to know other collectors and know the trusted shops. It's really you have to be very careful because people can replace dials, they can replace, you know, hands, they can do movements. Like, you have to buy from a trusted seller.
It's like custom cars, isn't it? You can buy
absolutely.
A car that looks like a vintage Corvette, but inside it's got a Volkswagen engine. You
that's
don't
right.
Know. Yeah, you really have to know what you're doing.
This is a Longa. This is called the Datagraph.
I love the Longas. This is another company in Glashütte.
Yeah,
have you been to Glashütte?
I have, yeah. So I visited this manufacturer. It takes them a year to make this watch. And so this is a chronograph with an oversized date in the top there. On the back side of it, I mean, take a look at this.
It looks
like a city on the back.
It is just insane. Come on, look at this. This is my $350 Urbane. It looks never mind. I don't like it anymore.
I mean, yours does more.
Take it away.
but this is fun because you get to go in. I met the person that actually hand engraved all these little pieces inside here. So you get to meet the engravers when you go down there. And this is something that, you know, honestly, it's a collectible. It's never going to go down in value. It's a great timepiece. This was a really shock to the industry. This was announced in 1999. Baselworld was the big kind of watch
industry.
That's
the big watch show.
They dropped this. It was the first chronograph that was designed in-house from the ground up in 25 years when it was released in 99. They only made this particular style for 2 years, so this one's really hard to find. Another watch that took me a year and a half to find.
What's a chronograph?
Just for timekeeping. So, you know, you hit the button here, and it'll start the little top here, and it keeps hours,
it's those extra
minutes,
dials that makes it a chronograph.
Yeah, so if you're timing anything. So you hit a button, it'll start, and I don't have this one wound. But
I've heard the word tourbillon. What is
tourbillon?
That?
Yeah. So a tourbillon is just a way to offset gravity. So what happens is if you hold a watch, let's say you have a watch sitting down flat on a desk, right?
Yeah.
And it's fully charged. Because of gravity pulling on the components in a certain way, it will lose a few seconds over time.
Oh.
Or if it's on your side like that, it was originally developed for pocket watches because people would keep watches in their pocket going horizontal and they would start to lose time. So a tourbillon cage goes around the escapement and actually allows it to escape that and keep correct time and offset gravity.
How interesting.
Yeah, I know that's all I know. Like, it's really complicated to actually figure it out. Type in tourbillon into Wikipedia, and you can read the in-depth article.
These are all mechanical watches. Do you have any interest in electronic watches like a Bulova or anything like that? No.
None of those. Any of these brands that are, like, bolting on the pedometers and things like that, I think it's a joke.
Yeah.
It's just like they're trying to play catch-up to a game they don't even understand.
Yeah.
And stick with what you do best.
The art of watchmaking.
Honestly, I think the smaller brands are kind of screwed. I think the tags, anything around a $500 price point, is going to kind of go away.
Because people just want a smartwatch.
Why not just get a smartwatch?
The difference is I can't hand this down because it's going to be completely obsolete in a year. So
I was going to buy one and keep it in an original box and unopen it and save it for 20 years just for fun.
But then it would be worth something.
Yeah, but you can't even turn it on. You turn it on and the first thing it's going to ask you to do is have a phone that was 25 years old to pair with
it. Oh, that's a good point.
And get it to work.
You'll have to put an iPhone 6 in a box
right
as well.
Right next to it and put them side by side and hope one doesn't break.
Kevin, so fun to see you. And I love Watchville. I love the app. And
I know you're into watches, too. You're watch-curious.
Well, I'm watch-curious because I don't yet...
I've heard you throw around IWC, a few other brands you're thinking about buying.
I like IWC. That's Kevin Spacey's brand.
That is.
What do you think? Is it good?
IWC makes some nice pieces. You have to be careful.
I like the Lawn and Sun. And now you got me on Nomos. I think this is all fascinating stuff. But, of course, I'm just going to stick with the electrical stuff because that's what I cover. And this way I can wear two.
No, don't do that.
And I could...
That's just, in the office, sure, but don't go outside.
I shouldn't probably. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out how to turn this $500 Apple Watch into a $17,000 gold Apple Watch.
For like 10 bucks.
About 10 bucks.
That's awesome.
Stay tuned.
Hey, Mike Elgin here, news director at TWiT. I have another tip for you. This one's a pure Apple Watch tip. You know, there are a lot of gestures on the Apple Watch. Sometimes it's too many to keep track of. But one you should never forget to do if you have an Apple Watch is the double click gesture, which you can do on both of the buttons. For example, you can dismiss an incoming call with the side button. Just double click on the side button to dismiss an incoming call. If you want to use Apple Pay really quickly, just double click the side button. That'll just bring Apple Pay right up, and then you just wave your wrist over the register. You can also return to the previous app by double clicking on the digital crown. And it even works if you've ignored your watch for many, many hours and you want to go back to an app you're using before. Just double click the digital crown. You'll go right back to that app.
All right. I don't know. We're going to have as long as we need.
Okay.
Take your time.
Okay.
Welcome back. Charlie and Gary are here. They're from Orbit One. And it's Orbit, the number one.co. And you've got a Kickstarter campaign for the Orbit One electroplater. This is the one and only, right? You got?
Yes.
This is it?
Yeah.
So who designed this?
I'm one of the creators. We have six people to make this. Yeah.
And you brought here an example of all the things you can do with electroplating.
Yeah.
So what, first of all, what is electroplating?
Basically, I think many people have ever done in high school.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's an electrolyte inside the tank.
Okay, that's an electrolytic fluid. In fact, I saw you pouring it in before the show. Okay.
Yeah. And you put a voltage drive between the cathode and the center and the anode on the side.
So you've got a cathode in the center and an anode in the side. And you're passing voltage.
Yes.
Because does it go from the cathode to the anode? Is that?
Anode to the cathode.
Anode to cathode.
Yeah.
And so that voltage, is it in the electrolyte? Then what does that do?
At the cathode.
Look, you're dipping dogs in there. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There they go. Okay.
Well, you get immersed in the metal solution.
So the electrolyte has metal in it.
Has metal in it, yeah.
I see. And so the electricity that's passing through attaches the metal to the dogs.
To the dogs, yeah.
All right. Now, in this case, these were plastic dogs?
It's plastic inside with a conductive paint.
And you paint them?
Yeah. We paint them.
Yeah. What's in the paint?
It's copper powder.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're putting a copper powder, and that helps the electrolyte stick to it. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
So that's the beginning.
That's the beginning.
Oh, this is the beginning. Okay. Yeah. This is before we put the copper on. Oh, this is 3D printed.
Yes.
So you could do any. So you took a 3D printed dog, painted it with this copper paint. And then you dipped it in. How long does it take to anodize?
Usually in 2 hours.
Two hours.
In one piece.
And
now
you have a brass puppy.
Yeah.
What metal was this? Was it brass? Copper?
Copper.
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 That is great. How thick can the coating be?
In average, we coat 0.1 to 0.2 millimeter.
Okay.
That's quite enough.
But what's amazing is you can, you can do anything, not just 3D printed. This is a piece of wood.
Yeah. Yeah, you can apply on almost anything.
That's great. Are you ready here for another one? Stone. That's a rock. Did you have to paint that with the copper, or does it work fine as is?
Yeah, it works fine as it is.
Good. That's amazing. Look at that. So you could take like, I don't know, my Apple, I'm sorry, I keep knocking everything over. My Apple Watch, gold plate it. Can you gold plate stainless steel?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
How much is the gold going to cost?
Actually, less than $10. Actually, we have secret. We apply copper first, then we coat very thin gold on that.
Yeah. So $10. Yeah. That's amazing. So, Charlie, this is a Kickstarter project. Yes. Have you started to raise money on the Orbit One?
Yes. We are now on Kickstarter right now, and we are halfway to go. So we already,
look at that. You got 104,000.
Yeah, 104,000.
When you get to 200,000, what happens?
And when we get 200,000, we will get to manufacture this one, because this is only the prototype right now.
Right.
And we will try to bring this product to everyone. So as easy as just dipping your strawberry into the chocolate pot, so you can actually just plate at home.
You could plate a strawberry?
No. I mean, we try to make it really easy.
Easy.
Like that people, non-tech as me, we can like do it at home.
I think this is kind of fun. How much is if I get on Kickstarter, if I want to contribute, how much do I have to contribute? What level do I have to contribute to get one of these?
For this machine right now, it's $19.99.
$2,000,
yeah,
basically.
$2,000.
And how expensive is the electrolytic solution? Because that's got the gold or the copper or the...
Yeah, we make it easier. For plating each piece, you can calculate by less than $1 per gram.
Okay.
So for the Batman, for this one, only cost...
let me hold this up here.
Less than $2.
Look at that. Yeah. $2.
Yeah, $2.
So folks, if you've got a 3D printer, you get this. And now I notice you've got copper and silver. So how do you do it? Two different electroplatings? Is that how you do that?
You just mix by the marker ink, then you wash it away. You coat the first layer.
So you mask this. It. Then put it through, and then you wash off the mask and put it through and mask this, I guess, right? Because you don't want the copper to get plated, and then put it through. That is really cool. What fun that is! You know, this is what's really interesting is this whole idea of desktop production and with a 3D printer and now this. Now how thick can this get? I mean, you have a paper straw or plastic straw?
No, this is plastic
straw. Yeah.
And you could use this as tubing. I mean, this is, that is solid. So how thick is the copper on here?
About 1 millimeter.
1 millimeter.
Yeah.
It feels pretty, I'm not going to break it or anything.
You won't.
I won't? I can't? Really? Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. All right, well, this is, you know, we had a show we played with called I'd Fund That, which we love the idea of bringing Kickstarter campaigns on and talking to them. And we thought, well, we'll bring them on to the new screensaver. It's the Orbit One, orbit1.co, but search on Kickstarter for Orbit One if this looks like something you'd be interested in funding. And they're halfway there with 40 days left. I think the odds are good. The odds
thank
are
you.
Good. Charlie, Gary, thank you so much for joining us. Check it out, Orbit One. .co. You want my watch now, or you want to do it? They're laughing. Yeah. What's in there right now? Anything?
Yes, we have put it in.
Before the show, we just put the two dogs inside, so we can put it out.
You put two dogs in? Oh, that was the dogs we saw going in.
I can lift it up.
Oh, you use the iPhone to control it?
Yeah.
Oh, look, he's controlling it with the iPhone. That's neat. Here come the dogs. Let's see what they look like, ladies and gentlemen. Are they still alive? Are they as cute as Toaster? Kevin brought his... What'd you plate him with?
Copper.
That's beautiful. You could do gold, though, right?
We can do gold. We can do palladium. We have many.
Palladium? Is that what this is? Palladium?
Yeah, it's biocompatible, so you don't have to worry about...
About the nickel. Nickel allergies.
Yeah,
so for a ring. Yeah. Look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Ozzy and Toaster. Toaster's coming over saying, what do you mean? Can I eat it? No, I know I said Toaster, but I didn't mean you. Thank you so much. Good luck. Orbit1.co. Yeah, go ahead. You can. Can we electroplate live things, or is that's probably not?
I've never tried about that. Put your finger inside.
They don't usually do. It has to fit in the tube. All right, never mind. Our show today brought to you by IT Pro TV. We love these guys, and really, we love all of our launch partners because it was it's a risky thing to do. Say, we want to buy advertising on a brand new show, but you know, IT Pro TV has been such a great partner with all of us. We love IT Pro TV. They helped, we helped get them started. They saw what we were doing at TWIT, these guys, Tim and Don, were IT trainers helping people get their certs. And they said, boy, we should do what TWIT is doing. We should create IT training kind of in the same way. They now have, I hate it, they're doing better than we are, two studios, 50 hours of new programming every week. Look at all the courses you could take, CompTIA, Microsoft, Apple. They have a certified ethical hacker class you could take, taught by Sean Philip Oriano. He's the guy that wrote the book on CEH. There's ISC Squared. Learning security stuff would be so, so smart nowadays. In fact, on Triangulation a couple of months ago, about a month ago, we talked to a guy named Mark Goodman, wrote a book called Future Crimes. He said, and I think he's right, we need 1 million cybersecurity professionals in the next few years. This is huge demand. So here's your chance to become one of them. itpro.tv/NSS. You can actually sign up for the free account and watch Sean. He's continuing to teach his second course in the Certified Ethical Hacking series, Hacking Forensics Investigator and Cryptography. Even if you don't want to get a cert, this stuff is fascinating. And you can watch free live now through May 15th on weekdays, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So I guess there's one more week of training with Sean at itpro.tv/NSS. When you get there, you can also sign up for the free 7-day trial and use the code NSS30 to save 30% on your subscription. That brings it down to less than $40 a month, $3.99 for the entire year. That's less than certainly technical college and less than those books. And boy, you're going to have fun learning. You can watch on your computer, on your laptop, on your tablet. Supports Chromecast, so you can watch on your TV. They support Roku. I love IT Pro TV. We're big fans. I want you to try it today. itpro.tv/NSS. itpro.tv/NSS. And don't forget to use the code NSS30 to get 30% off and a free 7-day trial at itpro.tv. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to take another call. Help me! But first, take a look at this.
Hey everybody, I'm Jason Calacanis, serial entrepreneur, angel investor in a bunch of different companies, and here is my tip. I love to use keyboard shortcuts on my phone, and I make them all the time. So if I have an Uber car outside, I just write UUU, and it says, I'm on my way down, please start the meter, don't leave. Because I would always say that to Uber drivers. Now, how do you do that? Well, you go into your iPhone, you go to General, and then you click on Keyboard, and once you're under the keyboard, you'll see shortcuts. It's buried. But then you can create a shortcut, and I'll do this for things I frequently say on Twitter. Like if somebody was asking me a question, I could say, here's how to send me a pitch. Go here, and you can send me a pitch for your company. Or if I have a message for my wife, like I'm on my way home, all these little things, I create little keyboard shortcuts. It works. It's simple. It's elegant. And give it a shot.
So is Jason Calacanis, simple and elegant. You know, yes. He had the sport.
I like that band. It feels good.
It's fluoroelastomer.
It's layer latexy kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I don't know. Let's stop talking about the Apple Watch.
That's a little bit of a ladies' band. Dave.
You just are mean to me.
No,
I'm just telling
I'll get you a better band.
While we're there, can we go to Glasshood? I wouldn't mind stopping by.
Yeah, we should.
Picking up one of them fine long and... How's it pronounced? Long and son?
Lange and son.
Lange and son.
Very,
und
very...
Son.
Und son.
Und son.
Very German.
Does that mean his son?
Yes.
But his son's probably 80.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, just checking. Hey, it's time for another Help Me call. Who do we have? Brian Burnett.
Next call comes from Jeff. He's in Harvester, Missouri.
Hey, Jeff from Harvester, Missouri. Welcome to the new Screensavers.
Thanks for inviting me.
Nice to see you. Yeah. What can we do for you?
My daughter belongs to a volleyball club.
Okay.
And we go out of town hotels, and everybody's got the Kindle. And
she's on a traveling squad?
Sometimes.
Oh,
not
man.
All the time.
You're a brave dad.
Yeah. Well,
is she a striker? What is she?
Oh, no, she's a setter.
Setter? She real tall?
Oh, has to be. No?
No?
Oh. No, the hitter's got to be tall ones. The setter's just got to set
setter's
them up.
Just gotta, in fact, they got to get out of the way. They got to go like
that's
this, right.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. So how can we help you as you travel from place to place?
Well, we're in the hotel room, and everybody's got Kindles and phones, and they're connected to the hotel Wi-Fi, and I'm going, is the hotel injecting things?
yes.
Yeah, someone hacking the hotel and injecting things. There's a guy in the room next door doing man-in-the-middle attacks.
Yes.
All the above.
We got the dark tipper with us. This guy knows.
Oh, boy.
Hey, yeah. I mean, if you use a Mac, if you've ever gotten on a hotel at Wi-Fi or Ethernet on a Mac...
You can sniff stuff.
When Apple announced that the iTunes sharing... All of a sudden, you see everybody's iTunes playlist.
Oh, absolutely.
40 people. You could see their playlist, everything.
Music discovery.
I was playing their music. Okay, so obviously, that's probably not the way to go. There are a couple of choices. I brought something in, and I don't think you'd ever seen this, Kevin. This is kind of cool.
No.
D-Link makes this. This is the AC750. This isn't going to solve your problem, Jeff, but I wanted to show people. It might. It's a portable router. So the idea for this, and by the way, it's also a battery, so you can use it wireless. In fact, you could charge your phones with it because it's got two USB ports. But the main point of this is it's got an Ethernet port, and then this becomes a Wi-Fi access point.
Right.
So that would have an advantage if your hotel has Ethernet.
Which most do, in the drawer there somewhere if you find it.
First of all, it's probably going to be faster than their Wi-Fi.
Right.
Because you'll have the access point right in the room.
And it's switched then, right? Because it's going from that Ethernet port directly into their main hub.
Right.
So you're not getting any, like, cross-traffic there.
Exactly.
So that's kind of more secure in that way.
Yep.
And then you can secure this, and so that's encrypted there locally with your family network.
Right. So I carry this when I travel. Down. Yeah, this isn't very expensive. It's under $100. The other thing would, of course, be to use a VPN. You were talking about this Go Karma thing. Have you tried this yet?
Yeah, I've used Karma. You should check out yourkarma.com. The reason why I have one of these is they're $159. There's other similar little 4G hotspots. I'm sure you've seen these before. They're these little things you can buy from, you know, you pick the provider, whether it's AT&T or Verizon or Sprint.
So it's LTE.
That's right. This is LTE, so you get 4G. I travel, but I don't travel that much. I'm starting to travel a little bit more. But regardless, I hate having that $30 a month bill.
Right.
Do you know that bill?
Whether you're going to use it or not.
Whether you're going to use it or not. You always get charged $30, $35, sometimes $40 a month. And this thing is just, you don't pay any flat rate per month. So there's no monthly fee. You just pay for data as you use it.
Oh, I like that.
So I like that plan. Also, if you don't care and you do travel a lot, there are a lot of plans and these little hotspots from, you know, I think I like Verizon for domestic U.S. coverage the best here. Don't you find Verizon is probably the best 4G?
You know, Verizon's gotten bad here in Petaluma.
You know what? You're right. AT&T's now gotten better.
It's so weird.
They jump back and forth.
I don't know if they're getting saturated, if they took down a tower here or something. You know who's the best here, though? T-Mobile.
Hmm.
20 to 30 megabits down, 15 megabits up. You know why? Because nobody uses it.
Right. It's probably the best pricing, too.
It's cheap. Yeah. And it's, but anyway.
You used to have one of these things that would bond, like, the four different signals together. What was that device?
Oh, I can't remember the name of it.
That's for the hardcore. That's like if you have, like, four different ones that you want to all bond.
That well.
It didn't? You were using it for your live streaming at South by Southwest.
Yeah. Well, remember, Colleen made a plexiglass thing. Huh? Grasshopper, exactly. And she had it over her shoulder, and it had all these modems. Eventually, we started losing the Live View, which does the same idea.
Right.
You buy 3G cards, the little USB cards, and you put them in the box, and you can have, up to eight different connections that it will bond together. This is for protection online. I've used this. In fact, I have, but I couldn't find it, so it shows you haven't used it very much.
The proxies?
The Tiny Hardware Firewall. This is a product that was created by Hotspot VPN. And when I bought it, it was $99. That included a year of VPN service.
Hmm.
And then, of course, you can renew it each year. Same basic idea. In fact, this actually had the opposite. So this was a Wi-Fi access point that then had an Ethernet port coming out of it, which would connect to your computer. So you'd kind of glue this to the lid of your computer. And then it would get the hotel's Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Route it through a VPN.
Oh, crazy. That sounds super slow.
Well, and that's...
you're going hotel Wi-Fi, then route it through a secure VPN?
That's the problem with VPNs in general, is because you're going through multiple servers,
it
can really slow things down. But this is secure, right? Because it's encrypted traffic. The VPN's going to protect you, 256-bit AES. But I kind of agree with you that the problem with it is speed. This is for... If you're going to go to bed and get your email and you really want it to be secure no matter where you are, this is a good solution. It's tinyhardwarefirewall.com. Hotspot VPN provides the VPN service.
Yeah, for me, it's like room roulette. You never know which room's going to give you the best Wi-Fi. I mean,
this is the best choice.
This is the best choice by far. Because you just plug it in and then boom, full like five bars when you're sitting in your room. This is great. I'm going to pick one of these up. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Did you just say I was going
to
have
this? No, I almost gave it to you.
Damn it. Oh, I'm not supposed to say
I'll tell you, I'll trade it for one of them nice watches. It's the D-Link AC750. Here you go.
Sweet.
It's yours. Keep it.
Nice.
Thank you. I'd send you one too, Jeff, but I just gave mine to Kevin.
Awesome. Yes.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to see you. Thanks for being on the new Screensavers.
Thanks, Jeff.
From Harvester, bye-bye, Missouri. And good luck to your daughter and her volleyball.
That's awesome.
When are you going to have kids?
I don't know. It's a good question. Daria? Tomorrow?
Silence.
She said tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So
you're working hard. All right.
Yeah. Just practicing now.
I don't know.
We got Toaster.
I got to tell you, don't ever go on a traveling team, you know, like soccer. They go all over the place. You spend the night in crappy motels. It's just the worst.
You've been doing that?
No. I wouldn't let my kids do that. I made them stay home and play video games.
There you go.
All right. We're going to take a break. Time for pot. Do you remember on that old show we used to do way back when? I can't even remember the name of it.
That one show.
That one thing we used to do that I think it was Patrick took a Pringles can and made a Wi-Fi
antenna
out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Father Robert has updated the old Pringles cantenna. Take a look.
When you're building a cantenna, there are a few parts that you're going to need. The first piece is this, a female N-type connector. It's what's going to allow you to put the antenna rod inside the can. The second piece is this, some heavy gauge copper wire. This actually should do just fine. You're also going to need a pigtail to connect the N-type connector to an adapter that supports an external antenna. The last piece is the can. Now, ideally, you want something that's 3.5 inches wide and as close to 5 inches long as possible. Unfortunately, those dimensions are really hard to find in the real world, so I've gone with this clear broth soup can. What I like about it is that it's plenty long, and because it's clear broth, it's easier to clean.
Once you've emptied and washed the can, measure the diameter of the container, then plug that number into the Cantenna calculator linked in our show notes. The calculator gives us two important pieces of information: how far from the back of the cantenna we need to drill our antenna port, and how long our cantenna should be. Anything over 4 inches wide is really too big, but it makes it easier for us to show you the steps. Mark off the antenna port location on the can. You should also mark off the approximate size of the N-type flange. You want the flange to fit easily through the hole, but you also want the hole small enough to be able to support the connector. Drill a pilot hole at the mark that you previously measured, starting with a pilot bit and gradually moving up to a larger bit. You want to make the hole large enough to just barely fit the mounting flange of the N-type connector. Once the hole is large enough, file off the burrs and the sharp edges. Clamp the N-type connector, then solder approximately 2 inches of copper conductor into the receptacle. You may need to sand the edges of the conductor to guarantee a clean solder joint. Measure off 1.21 inches on the copper conductor, then snip the conductor to the proper length. You can now choose to hot glue the N-type connector into the cantenna or use 4 self-tapering screws to secure the connector. Give the can a rough sanding if you plan to paint it.
With this kind of antenna design, you can expect between a 6 and 12 decibel increase of RF sensitivity. Not only that, but you'll get an increase in the amount of RF directionality, which means that if you were to say, oh, I don't know, climb to the top of a tall, tall antenna or a tall building, you could shoot a Wi-Fi link for miles.
I got a funny story for you.
Yeah.
So that is a real upgrade over the Pringles cantenna that Patrick
Norton more hardcore.
15 years ago. But the guy, Father Robert, who did that, he was in the studio audience that day 10, 15 years ago. There he is. There's Robert. He was in the studio audience that day. So I love the connection.
That's amazing.
With the old days and the new. And by the way, that's a giant soup can, right? It's hard to get the other cans, but it's like Swanson's, like chicken broth.
Diet chicken broth.
That's a sponsorship opportunity. I mean, hey,
you get some great broth and then a wonderful antenna.
That's right, and they make great broth.
Are you ready for a blast from the past?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's bring her on, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Morgan Webb. Oh, my God.
My old roommate. It.
Your roommate?
Yeah, we used to be roommates.
You used to live. Oh, and she brought her dog.
I'm at my house.
What's his name?
Ashby.
Ashby. Her name.
Ashby doesn't have her own Instagram filter, but, you know.
I think we should make one for Ashby. Yeah. Yeah.
Super cute.
Morgan, it's so great to see you. Morgan Webb was a researcher on the old show many moons ago. And then we started having you do tips, right?
Yeah. I used to work with, I can see my head's cut off. I worked with Kat Schwartz on a project before Tech TV, and the company ended. It was a startup. And she called me up and she's like, there's a job open. You have to apply for it. I already put in a good word. And so I applied for the job and I got it. Yeah.
Oh, that's so neat.
Researcher.
That's so cool. You didn't work with her at the Swiffer Corporation, did you?
No, it was like a tech startup that sort of did a lot of different things for a lot of different audiences, depending on the day.
Yeah, a lot of pivoting. That's always a
all
bad
in real
sign.
Time. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
The Swiffer comment is because remember Kat always claimed she invented the Swiffer.
I didn't know that.
Did you know that, Morgan?
I did. She said she was in a focus group, right? And she said, "Wouldn't it be great if there were this mop-like thing, this duster, where but it pivoted," and then she's like, "A year later, Swiffer came out."
She could have made billions.
Billions. Yes. So Morgan, of course, was immediately a superstar, and started doing tips segments. Pardon me?
In niche markets.
Yeah, well, yeah. Somebody once told me, Leo, you're a minor celebrity on an unknown cable channel. And I said, yeah, that's about right. It was a very niche market, but people loved you. Then, of course, you and Adam started doing X-Play, and that took off.
Yeah.
And, in fact, when G4 acquired Tech TV, that was one of the few shows that really continued on through almost the end of
G4. Yeah, we all left. And how long did you stay on for, Morgan, after we were all gone? Like, years, right? At least a couple years.
Years. There have been a lot of changes, like, and a lot of people coming and going. I'm trying to think, when we were at the end, the only people who were left were there originally. We had Joshua Brentano, who was one of the producers.
He never left.
I think he's still there.
He's still there.
Even though they shut it down, he might still
be
there.
He's the tape librarian.
Yeah.
You remember, Brentano, he actually, when I first started, he was sort of my first boss almost, because we sat in that little nook area. What was that called? You guys remember?
Netcam Corral or whatever?
The Babe Corral, I'm embarrassed to say.
You can get sued for that now. You should not say that.
I know.
What was it called?
The Babe Corral?
I don't think that's what it was called.
Well, I had to start sitting in there. You guys put me in there.
Well, you were a babe. You were one of the babes.
That's right.
But you two were roommates?
Yeah, we were roommates for what? Maybe like 6-8 months, something like that?
Yeah. Like that, yeah.
Maybe a little bit longer. I was the worst roommate. Morgan hated me as a roommate. I was horrible. I was just a young punk. And
tell us some Kevin Rose.
No,
stories.
Don't tell any stories.
My lips are sealed. Kevin was a saint.
Yeah, right.
I was a saint. And everything was happy and roses.
Of course.
That's right.
So you and G4 parted company not so long ago. Then G4 completely dissolved into nothingness. Emptiness.
I have no comments about that.
Yeah, no, none of us have any problem about that. Charles Hirschfeld went on to become, he ran a senior citizen network. That's the next thing he did, and now I think he's not heard from much. But I understand.
Doing some stuff, but I don't remember exactly what it is right now, but I guarantee you I will remember exactly what it is
the minute
that I,
do
something else.
And of course, every time Rob Reed is on Twit, we say, and Rob is married to the beautiful Morgan Webb. So I'm going to say Morgan's married to the very handsome Rob Reed.
Rob's awesome. We all love Rob.
We do. He did the very famous copyright speech at TED that everybody, copyright math, and then wrote a book kind of based on that about aliens owing the music industry huge amounts of money because they've been pirating music over the space waves. He's doing a new one, right?
He is. He's working on a new book right now. He is trying to slay the evil email monster so that he has more time to actually work on the book.
Awesome.
But he's been doing really good every day. He's getting his writing in, and so we're hoping it's going to be done pretty soon.
We love Rob. I'll give him our best. And I know that we can't talk about it, because it's super secret, but you've got a new project.
No, you know I'm a spy, right?
You got to give us something. Give us a little tidbit.
I have signed my life away. I can't say anything. People will find out soon. It's not going to be a secret forever. Because I know I wanted to come on, but I'm like, I can't actually say anything about what I'm doing, which is sort of obnoxious to say. So I decided I'll bring you guys something else. I was going to tell you about a TED Talk that you guys should watch.
Okay.
And it's just posted. It's by Abe Davis. Do you remember a little while ago there was that whole thing where the students looked at the potato chip bag with the camera and they could tell what sound was actually happening in the room from the vibrations of the plant? Yeah. So one
of
the guys...
Do you know that? You remember that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, the camera could measure the vibrations of anything, but in this case, I think it was potato chip bag or something, because the voice was making it vibrate, and they could actually recreate the sound based on that recording.
Yeah, so the talk talks a little bit about that, because he did work on that project, but he also worked on this project where he can look at vibrations in objects, tiny vibrations that are just even like a pixel different, and actually predict how the object is going to move much larger. So maybe something that you could do with this, and the videos are great, which is why the way that I'm going to explain it is not going to be as good. You'll watch the video and you'll be like, oh, I totally get it. That's awesome. So a director could actually shoot a scene, and with no actual special equipment, special cameras, you can actually, he could make the trees in the background have a ton of wind when maybe it wasn't windy that day.
But and recreate it based on the movement of the trees?
By these tiny little itty bitty like pixel differences in the way the trees actually move.
Wow.
Watch the video. It's gonna blow your mind. I mean, the videos are amazing. So,
that's awesome.
Yes.
Well, Morgan, you look great still. You don't look like you've aged a day, neither does Kevin. It makes me feel very old.
I have so many more gray hairs now.
Oh, please.
Seriously. My first gray hair was at Tech TV. I kid you not.
How could you guys are both better looking than you were on Tech TV.
See, that's a woman's secret. I've dyed my hair so long, I could be completely gray. I would literally
know
it.
Well, roughly how soon are we going to find out about this new thing?
I can't tell you. Stop it.
Will you come on the show to announce it at least? I mean,
yeah, come back and announce it.
When you announce it next week, make sure it's on the show.
Oh, poor Morgan. We're suffering.
You guys are driving me crazy. I'm trying to drink my calming green tea right now.
That's good.
Morgan Webb, great to see you again. Thanks for being our blast from the past. Great to see you. I'm so glad things are going well, right?
Absolutely.
I didn't know you guys were roommates.
It was a chaotic time.
You could tell me later, Morgan. I want to hear all about it.
Oh, don't worry, Leo. I will.
Oh, no.
I never knew that. Thanks, Morgan. See you later. Kevin, let's get the mailbox in here because it's time.
Wow. That was aggressive.
That's an aggressive mailbox. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's a raccoon. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Tossed.
Look at that. You're good.
I mean, if you had slow-mo, you would see that I actually jump there. Toaster, come here.
Get the raccoon. Get the raccoon, Toaster.
He has like 15 different raccoon toys.
Get the raccoon. Really?
Yeah.
There's a very famous video. I'm sure you know all know about it, of Kevin Rose protecting his dog. A raccoon had snuck in at night, and you woke up in the middle of the night, and there's just howling and yowling. The raccoon
was
fighting with your dog. And you did not like that one cotton picking bit.
Yeah, I tossed him down the stairs.
Like this. And there's animated GIFs, and there's all...
I know, 8 million views on that thing. I should have put ads on there. What was I thinking?
It was a security cam that was...
Yeah, it was a security cam going down our stairs, and I ran out there. I just didn't know what to do. It's like your baby is getting hurt.
Yeah.
And like, you know.
And you know what? There's no question the raccoon was fine. He got up and dusted himself off and waddled away. So he was fine.
You know, I didn't tell anyone this, but I bought a taser afterwards. Like, I will tase his ass if he comes back. that's safer for me. And, I mean, they're pests. They have rabies and stuff.
No, I agree.
I'm not an animal abuser, chat room.
I know what you're about to do to me, though.
I'd
put that word out to the raccoon community so they understand.
That I'm not an animal abuser?
No, that you have a taser and you're not afraid to use it.
Yeah, I'm trying to let everyone know. That's just hopefully it gets out to them.
Email, all right? And by the way, if you want to send us email, we would love to see it.
Electronic email.
Newscreensavers@twit.tv. Well, you know
you're
what?
Cutting edge here, Leo. sorry. We used to do it like this all the time. This is great.
This is, yeah. And, you know, if you could see, it's really big print. That's because I'm an old man now, and I need big print. In your first episode, Leo, you said repeaters are your friend, which I found surprising. I've read through a lot of forums that say repeaters. We're talking about extending your Wi-Fi.
Sure.
Slow down your overall Wi-Fi network. Love to see more in-depth coverage of this. Access points, same SSID versus different names. Anything else you all think would be relevant for someone trying to maximize Wi-Fi coverage? That was Steve in Singapore. And Todd also said, I'm in need of a repeater on anything repeaters that are reliable that you would recommend. So, you know, I did not experience slowdown, but I suppose in theory it's possible.
I've had a few repeaters around my house, and it's been horrible.
So this is what we do, and we're still doing it. We have an Airport Extreme, and to get to the extreme reaches of the house,
right.
I have the new Airport Extreme. I have an old Airport Extreme in my office, and in the gym we have the Airport Express.
Now, are
so
those
it's all
hardwired?
Apple. No.
Okay, they're not.
The Airport Extreme is. That's
okay.
The base.
Right.
And then the other two are essentially repeaters.
Right.
And it's the only, I mean, the reason you do it is because you can't get Wi-Fi otherwise, right? You just got to find a way to get Wi-Fi. I guess you could use telephone or electrical networking, you know,
right.
to do that, the power line network.
I don't even know if those actually exist anymore.
Power line actually works all right.
Okay.
And so maybe that would be a better choice if you are worried. But I don't think that it degrades it. We're still getting, much faster than the computer needs, 50 megabits down. We have 100 megabit connection. At the house, and I'm still getting 50 megabits down on all my. That's fast enough.
Are you one story?
Yes.
Because I have in a condo of two stories, and going through walls
floor,
and going
yep,
up, it's yep. really difficult. I found it was better to just get rid of that access point altogether and
what
just get
do?
One of the new ones, like the really nice higher end ones, like
yes.
a Ruckus.
Yes.
So Ruckus kind of waveforming craziness.
You have beamforming.
Beamforming in the Ruckus.
Oh.
They're pricey. But
yeah.
it works really well.
We talked, Patrick and I talked about this last week. This is 802.11 AC. And most of the AC routers don't have beamforming because in order to do that, you have to have independent antennas that can, like,
right.
shape the signal.
How many, have you heard of Ruckus before?
No, I've heard the name. Is it?
Yeah.
Do you like them?
They're more enterprise. So, like,
yeah.
it's more of a commercial installation, and
yeah.
you can find them
Are
for sale.
Really
I found
expensive?
One on Amazon. You know, yes. They're about $500 for an access point.
Okay, that
which is
a
like
lot.
4x
yeah.
the cost. But if you're going to go buy three or four extenders or for your house, you're in that same price range. Why not just get
That's
one that works?
Because in fact, I've spent that much, haven't I? Because I've got the
yeah, exactly.
The other thing, my strong advice is this: the technology that's being used is called a WDS, Wireless Distribution System. It's kind of a poorly written spec, so it's really important if you're going to use extenders that they be the same brand.
Mm-hmm.
They're much more likely to work well together. But I like this Ruckus idea: one really powerful router. That fries everything in between.
Right.
Yeah. That's
gives you cancer. Like, you get everything.
The beamforming is a great idea because you probably only have a couple of things on it. So it just kind of aims the beam, just like that cantenna, at the device that's using it.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's worked fine. So I'm pretty happy with it now.
We'll look at the Ruckus. Hey, John, can you get me my Mac laptop? Because this question from Chris in St. Joseph, Michigan is about it. And I wanted to show Kevin this anyway. Is it over there? Okay. What is the multicolored keyboard cover on Leo's machine that we saw last week on the episode of the new Screensavers? You're going to like this, Kevin. If you're a comic book fan anyway,
Whoa,
you're going to like that.
Look at that.
This makes it so hard to type.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea. Don't
that
do it.
That is amazing.
But each letter is a comic book character. So P is Punisher. For instance, see the skull there?
That is awesome.
G is Green Lantern. B, of course, is Batman. And it's not just one universe. I mean, it's not just, Marvel or DC. It's like there's indie comics on here. The keyboard is Excelsior. The tab key is POW.
That's really cool.
Isn't that great? And these came from, oh, boy, now I'm going to have to dig back in the memory.
Show notes.
No, it's, I'll find it because I'll tell you what. While you answer this last question, because this one's for you. I will find the name of the decal company. That's
All
Jeff
right.
in New Hampshire has a question for you.
A question for Kevin Rose. Kevin, oh boy. How do I make $1 million and get on the cover of Business Week?
Do you ever get that question?
You know. Oh,
okay, God. Business Week puts Kevin Rose on the cover. It's $60 million man, right?
That's right. That was all paper net worth. That was not.
It was not. You were not worth significant. You were paper.
It was just, you know.
Was that because of Dig?
It was because of Dig. Yeah, that's right. So that was back in 2006.
You're never going to live that down. It's like being in the cover of Sports Illustrated. It's a jinx.
Yeah, it was. Who can complain though about being on the cover of Business Week? I can never really complain about that. The picture was surprising as it was a joke photo that I took at the time. But, you know, honestly, I tell all entrepreneurs the same thing, in that if you're chasing the money, you're going after the wrong thing. I think the best...
Nobody believes that.
Well, listen, the best founders are really passionate about something.
Right.
They go after it, and they end up making a lot of money.
Maybe.
Maybe. But right. The ones that do, it's because of the overall passion for that thing that they went after. Because you have to have that.
Yeah.
Because when times are bad, and there will be horrible down moments as a founder, it's a roller coaster of ups and downs.
Really?
I certainly had that for, I mean, you know how it is. Think about everything that you've gone through.
We've just been up. Yeah. No, really. I keep waiting.
I mean,
Calacanis said, if you're not a real entrepreneur, if you don't have a few days where you don't know how you're going to make payroll.
Well,
is that true?
There certainly was funding concerns that I went through for a long time.
Were there moments when you thought,
are we going to get the next round of funding? We may not make it.
Yeah.
We had that at Revision 3. We pulled that off, luckily.
Yeah.
It could be dealing with people leaving your organization or hiring new people or whatever it may be.
Downs.
You have your ups and downs.
Yeah.
So you have to be in the game and have the passion for what you're doing. Otherwise, you just give up.
Right.
So anyway, that's the one thing I've seen. I've done a ton of foundations. You know, Elon Musk, Evan Williams, Jack Dorsey. They all have passion for what they're doing. I think that's key.
You know what, Jeff? That's what you should do, is watch Kevin's foundation series. Because that's what you do, is interview founders.
Yeah, I do it for myself because I'm still learning, and I love to hear from those guys and learn from them. So definitely check out foundation.bz on the internet.
And these stickers on the keyboards, they come from killerduckdecals.com.
Awesome.
And it was only a couple of bucks. Really, the hardship is putting them on one by one.
Do they have the Dvorak?
Dvorak keyboard? Well, you'd have to. You could make this a Dvorak.
Do you do Dvorak
no.
or do you do? You don't?
You use QWERTY? You don't use QWERTY?
No, I'm just kidding. it's like the hipster thing to do now.
Yeah,
you know that, right? Like, you gotta be the cool Dvorak.
People are doing Dvorak.
People are talking about it. It's like the new thing.
You
can change it in settings. Tell people if they don't know what that means.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
So the original keyboard that you're using right now, and everybody's been using for more than 100 years, QWERTY, goes back to the old days of typewriters. I think it's apocryphal, but the story was that the keyboard was designed to slow typists down. Because you wouldn't remember this, but in the days of mechanical typewriters...
I did typewriters.
Did you?
In high school.
Did you?
Yeah, I did typing
class.
So
remember the keys sometimes would get jammed?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the idea was, they're typing too fast, so let's make the worst possible keyboard, and they'll slow them down. I don't know if that's true, but the Dvorak keyboard was designed to be more efficient than the QWERTY keyboard.
Type faster, less errors, apparently.
Problem is, you got to learn a new way. You got to start from scratch.
Right.
Who has time for that?
I don't know.
I don't have time for that.
I'm not doing it.
No. That's crazy talk.
Hipsters are doing it, though.
Hipsters do it because they want to be different.
Like,
wearing two watches at the same time. Who would do that? Kevin Rose, you are
Dude,
the greatest.
Thank you, sir. That was awesome.
I just adore you. I tell people I have no reason to be proud, but I'm always proud of Kevin's success. Like, I actually know somebody who's successful. That's cool.
Yeah,
you married well. You married up, which everybody should do.
She's pretty cute.
Yeah, she's darn great.
She's got her PhD. She's a lot smarter than I am.
She's a doctor. Dr. Daria. There she is. Summer Tomato. And you have a better dog than I do. So I feel like...
It doesn't have to be a competition. I mean, Toaster is, he's a better dog.
He is a better dog. Admit it. He's a better dog. Thank you, Kevin. It's great to have you.
Look at the fight. There's a fight.
Thank God there's a pane of glass separating them. Ozzy does not like Toaster. That reminds me of the movie I just saw, Ex Machina. Did you see that movie?
No, no.
Yeah. One side's artificial intelligence, one side's human. You figure out which is which.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is so much fun to do, the new Screensavers, every Saturday afternoon.
Love it.
3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 2200 UTC if you want to watch live. You can also subscribe, of course. You'll find the shows at twit.tv/TNSS. It's on iTunes. In fact, I think we were number one on iTunes for the last few weeks.
Awesome.
All the new subscribers to the show, we're really thrilled about it. And, of course, if you use the Twit apps, you'll find it there, too. Most of the Twit apps have been updated so that they have the new show in the album art.
Cool.
My buddy Kevin Rose, come back soon, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being here.
Been
we'll
awesome.
See you next time.
Feels good.
Yeah. I'm the new Screensavers. Thank you, everybody.